At a great victory, Steve. A great, great victory this week. I have been sick all week. So you may be asking, how is that a victory? Well, listen up, Jude. Not only was I sick for my Christmas break, I was sick for my Thanksgiving break. I had the stomach flu. Threw up all the way down the 99. My summer break, I had the latest iteration of COVID. I've had all the COVIDs. I had COVID Classic, of course, because I'm a purist. Then I had the new COVID. I had COVID Zeta, COVID, all of those things. So how is my sickness a victory, you say? Well, for me, it was a victory because in years past, I would throw a pity party about how unlucky I am. I was sick all week on my Christmas break and sick on my Thanksgiving break. But I've been gaining awareness, you see. I've been gaining perspective. It helps me in any manner of ways. It's like a basketball player who practices his dribbling or her dribbling and shooting and all of those different techniques. They'll dribble with one hand while somebody tosses like a tennis ball to their other hand, right? And then they practice their defensive slides, and then they practice all of those things so when they get into a game, whatever comes up, they're ready for it. Does that make sense? And I've been working on my prayer time enough to where my connection is getting stronger and stronger, so the Lord helps me to see things. Now, I'm not perfect, right? Dad was praying for 4 hours a day for 100,000 years. So he had abilities that I don't yet have, but the whole deal is finding ways and means of strengthening the connection with the Spirit of the Lord that illuminates the path that you should go. It would be very easy for me. So easy, I've done it my whole life. It's like falling into the water. It would be so easy for me to think, ugh, I gotta go back to school, I'm sick, and it's gonna be right back to working Trader Joe's and Redeemer and do and this, that, and the other. Complain, complain, complain. The only thing that's changed is my connection that I do every morning without fail, even when my daughter interrupts me to ask for Roblox money. I don't huff and sigh. I love you, baby girl. Can we do this afterwards? I'll tell you no as soon as we're known. So this little prayer time is the secret to unlocking the path, the GPS, the guidance system. And so while it's great to do it here with friends and family in a wonderful building with so much history, it's more important to do it at home. I don't know, more important. It's as important to do it at home. What you reap, so shall you sow. So Mom's going to play a little music, and then we'll pray, and then I'll give you a short sermon, and that'll be the end of the year. Dude, Emilio, that song, Deep, Deep Love, is my favorite, even though I blew it on the verse. I love that song. Excellent playing, Mom. The first one's for free, Jude. I had a friend at Trader Joe's, classic Trader Joe's story, start the day. There was a customer who was coming through, and I was scanning them, and she was bagging up the groceries. And the guy, as he was leaving, said something like, "Oh, I like what you've done with your hair," or something. "It looks very interesting," or something to that effect. And then he left, and she kind of did, "Oh," and then he left, and we continued to work, and I could see her like tinkering with what he had just said. And so like three customers later, she was like, "What do you think he meant by that?" And I said, "Well, he probably meant that your hair looks stupid and that he hates it." And she's like, "Really?" And I was like, "Of course not. He was trying to pay you a compliment." We have to be mindful about how we take in the world. It's very easy to assume that everything that anybody says is an attack. Does that make sense? Most of what people say, they're not even thinking about the things that they're saying. But some people will view everything that is said as a malicious attack against them and their, or look for the hidden slight. Does that make sense? As we continue our journey here for 1,000 years or for one more week, I encourage you to be aware of how you are viewing the world and the things that I'm saying. I would never try to hurt anybody's feelings. So when I'm saying stuff up here, mostly I just try and share my own journey. But the fact of the matter is, all of us have to change. That makes sense? We're all growing and on our journey. So if somebody says something and you are quick to take offense, that keeps you right where you're at. That makes sense? There was this story that I heard, a guy wrote this book that I kind of liked, and there's a guy who had like a thorn in his arm. I may have told you the story before. And anytime somebody gets close to him and touches the thorn, it hurts. And he meets somebody that he loves, but he can't get close to them because they touch the thorn and it hurts. And so he builds like a little apparatus to like cover the thorn. And then he can be around this person and the thorn doesn't hurt. But then when they go to lay down at night, he can't sleep because of the thorn. So he creates this whole bed contraption so that he can sleep in just the right position so that the thorn doesn't hurt him, right? But then she can't sleep, so he's got to make an addition to the bed, right? And then he can't drive because of the thing that he built to cover the thorn. And so he has to buy a new car. And at the end of it, he's like, "See, I fixed it. Now the thorn doesn't cause me any problems." But he doesn't realize that he's had to change his whole life to deal with the thorn. If he just took out the thorn, he wouldn't have to build all those other things. So we create these coping mechanisms. We create these views and justifications and warped ways of looking at things so that we can maintain our current state of affairs. When really, if you just take a step back and remove the thorn, as a man who takes himself too seriously, I'm saying that I need to. We need to be willing to look at our thorns. It's the only way that we get any movement forward. Does that make sense? There's a problem with traditional theology in my mind is that they're in a stationary place. We've got it all figured out. Now the next step is just tell everybody else and wait. And that's why the church is shrinking. At large, Christianity is shrinking in the Western world. Because everything's either growing or dying. There's nothing in between. So we got to figure out which one we are. So it's the last day of the year, and I thought appropriate to talk about growth and change. Perfect segue, Lily. There's a saying in the East that I heard. In order for water to stay pure, it must constantly flow. Stagnant water attracts bacteria and mosquitoes and everything that makes it brackish and gross. So too, I would argue, that our lives must constantly flow. This year, my daughter is going to high school. Guess what? I hate that. You'll never believe that a father hates the fact that his daughter's going to high school. Well, I hate it. I hate it so much. If I had like a time machine or a shrink ray, I would use it. But here's the rub, Todd. I have neither of those things. The river of life is carrying my daughter to high school, where she will wear rings on her fingers. Can you imagine? Ugh. She's growing up. If she didn't grow up, if she remained a 10-year-old for 40 years, even though in my mind that's what I want, my little green-eyed Judy, don't grow up, baby, stay here with me. So I'm 80 and she's still 10? I would rob her of all the happiness that I've gotten to achieve. What a selfish thing to do. Brackish water, filled with disease. Number one, it's impossible. And number two, it's not healthy. The runaway train that is time is causing my children to grow older. Not only is that not a bad thing, it is the most glorious thing. My son and I are closer now than we've ever been. The man that he is and is continuing to become fills me with pride. And while sometimes I reminisce about the little Tez that was and think of his cute little Cookie Monster sweater, there is no going back to that time. So if I can look at fondness with it, but still accept and dream of all of the good that is yet to come, then I'm the one who grows, right? The more that I try and remain stagnant and keep him as the young child that he was, not only do I cause myself suffering, but I cause him suffering. Because he will know when I'm talking to him like a child and when I'm talking to him like a man. Did that make sense? I got to take out the thorn. That thorn that's causing me pain. Your kids are growing up, dude. They're not kids much longer. You know how many times I hear that? They're so lucky I'm not Jean-Claude Van Damme. They get scissor kicked so hard the next person. I could build a contraption and rationale. Well, I'll just do this, that, and the other, and I'll send her to this school so it's small and safe, and then I'll watch over her, and then I'll get her phone, and I'll monitor. Or I take out the thorn. She's changing. She's growing. She's becoming a beautiful young woman who I'm proud to be a father of. Did that make sense? That's the nature of everything. I got to change. Imagine I was the man that I still was 20 years ago. Constantly growing. So in order for people to stay pure in our hearts, we must constantly change and grow. Matthew chapter 7, verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. In the past, Dad gave the sermon and so have I. People thought that everybody who was not producing the good fruit of Christianity would be cut off and thrown into hell. I would argue that it's much more impactful. You will know the person. You will know the nature of your thoughts and actions by looking at the fruit. If you see apples on a tree, even if you've never seen an apple tree before, you know that's an apple tree. You can tell by its fruit. I can tell that the nature of how I view my daughters going to high school, if it is something of fear and pain, that is bad fruit. And therefore, it has to be cut off. Any healthy tree has to be pruned. So as the Spirit-filled man that I am continues to grow, I'm monitoring, praying for guidance, and observing my thoughts and behaviors. If my thoughts and behaviors are bearing the fruit of prejudice, of pain, of arrogance, of fear, then they have to be cut off. Does that make sense? That's how you'll know. Should I do this? Should I do that? Well, do your current actions cause fear and pain? Then don't do that. That's how you enter the kingdom of heaven. When I wake up and I'm grumpy, even if I go and do my prayer time, but Lord, I prayed. But Lord, I was a good father. But you were grinding your teeth, dude. You were fearful. You were afraid. You were angry. You were bitter. I didn't know you. I know the Son of God, Gabe. I know the one filled with love. You weren't in the kingdom of heaven. I don't even know this guy. What is he doing here? Oh, you're right. You're right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful life you've given me. I enjoy the moment with Jude now. I've enjoyed the time that she was a child. I'm going to enjoy the time as an adult. I re-enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes, there he is. That's the Gabe that I know. Did that make sense? We have to be willing to continue to grow and change. The thing that I admired most about my father, even more than his integrity, was his willingness to lay it all on the line. If I wanted to grow this church, I know exactly how I'd do it. And so did he. I would teach a traditional message, drum up culture war nonsense, and fill the pews. And the Lord would say, who is this man? I never knew him. Do some people go to heaven and some people go to hell? Dad's thinking and thinking and thinking. For so much of his life, he had built everything. He left being a lawyer. He left it all. But only through that willingness to change comes radical growth. You want radical effects? You need radical growth. So why do we fear change and growth? Number one, we fear the future. Most people assume the worst. You know how many times I hear about how bad it's getting in America? The history teacher in me tries not to roll their eyes. One of these days, my eyes are just going to glunk, 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 roll out and fall off onto the ground. And then people say, well, we've never been more divided than we are now. And I bring up the Civil War, which is absolutely appropriate. But because I'm a party animal, I was watching the Ken Burns documentary on the Vietnam War. Even then, people have lied and tricked themselves into believing that there was this Norman Rockwell America that used to occur. Right? Well, America was literally divided between whites and colored bathrooms. Right? We fear change Well, yeah, but back in the 80s, music was music. Men dressed like girls and they screamed about running with the devil. That's music. Music today, this isn't music. Do you understand? The things that are changing are new to us and not like what we're used to and we like, so we fear it, number one. Number two, we're unwilling to let go of the past and or present. Have you ever heard that saying, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know? That is a lie. The devil you know is bad. Get rid of him. Kick him out. I have such fond memories of being with Lily and Jude. And I think, well, next year, I'm just telling stories on them all day today. So it's the last Sunday of the year. What are they going to do? But we used to do every Halloween, we would go to like my brother's or my sister's house to do Halloween. And I have pictures of little Lily, and she had like a little kitty cat costume on, and Judy's a little fairy, and we were driving home from Ashley's house, and I could hear him whispering, and my spider senses were tingling. I know they're plotting something. They're plotting and scheming, and they're trying to see who their best course of action for me to get what they want. You ask him. One of you better ask me right now. Turn this car around. Nobody goes to Disneyland. Dad, we were wondering if it was okay if we did Halloween by ourselves. And then right after that, they pulled out a dagger and stabbed it clean through my heart and said, die, old man. We never loved you. We're taking everything you got and we're driving home. Can you believe that? Well, that's what it felt like. I don't know if that's actually what happened. We want to do Halloween by ourselves because we're old enough to do it by ourselves. I played it cool, Steve. Sure, what do I care? You know, it's not like I raised you and pay for everything and clothe you and feed you. The very breath in your lungs is because of me, but yeah, sure. And then my mind started to go. I'm kind of making light of this, but then my mind started to go. They're not kids anymore. Then the next Halloween, they're going to be in high school. They want to go to a high school party. And they're never going to want to spend Halloween with me again. Did that make sense? We want to hold on. It's scary in the future. Even as hard as it may be right now, the idea of something new could be worse. So we hold on to the present. But you couldn't hold on to it anyways. Even if you wanted to. So we must change. And the fear that I was feeling, the resentment and irritation that I was feeling, was the bad fruit. And I had to cut it off, and then I had to throw it in the fire. If I cut it off and then hold it in my hand, I'm still stuck. I got to cut it and let it go. Get it off me. And only then could I enter into a place where I can connect with them once again. And the tree that is Gabriel Frazier continues to grow healthy and strong. We've got to change. We live our whole lives with self-imposed frameworks of what is and is not possible. Well, I'm an irritable person. I'm just bad at math. You know how many times kids tell me that? I'm just bad at math. That's because you believe you're bad at math. Well, I just can't do this. This is just too hard. That's just human nature. But how would you even know if you've never tried? You've convinced yourself it's not possible, so of course it's not possible. If you went 10 years ago and said, Gabe, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be praying every day, and you're going to be preaching the gospel, that's impossible. I hate it. I wouldn't do it. Who would even listen to me? What kind of maniacs would listen to me? It's not possible. I am not my father. I could never do. Gabe, you got to find a way. You got to raise the kids by yourself. Raising children alone? Not possible. Can't be done. It is possible. Live in peace in the midst of my current situations? Not possible. He's the father of lies. Of course he's going to tell you that. He wants you right where you're at. Stuck, hemmed in. So he can drain you of every last drop. He had me cornered, convinced. You're not your father, you're not even your sister's, Gabe. Sat alone in the dark, robbing, lying. You understand? You think you can't be happy at your job? You think you can't be happy in your life? You think that you can't get a new job? You think you can't find somebody? It's a lie. It's all a lie. But you only get it when you change, and that's scary. But it's necessary. Your future is not written. It's wide open. No matter your age, no matter your station, it's wide open. You can't see it, so you don't believe it. But that's the nature of faith. Faith isn't thinking something to be true and convincing yourself of the fact. Faith is believing that it will work out. But there's hardly any people in this room, Gabe. How on earth could we create a successful church? It will happen. Everything that needs to happen will happen. Or the thing that needed to happen will happen. Did that make sense? We've got to grow. First, we cut out the parts that are holding us down, and then we start to grow. This is the second half, Lily. We're almost done. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. 19 and 20. Jesus is casting out the demons. And he told his disciples to do it, but they can't do it. It's like, kind of like Peter walking on the water. He can't do it. He's fallen. His pants are wet. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not drive it out?" And he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." As a young man who was filled with arrogance, I read this and I thought I would catch my dad. I think I may have told you the story. And I said, "Dad, I mean, come on. Like, that would be impossible. We just have mountains flying everywhere. How would anybody have a map?" And he smirked. I don't know, those of you who knew Dad well knew his smirk. And he smirked and he shifted his sunglasses and he said, "Gaby, if you could move the mountain, you would also have the wisdom to not do something that would cause danger." Did that make sense? It's not about Jedi mind tricking mountains into water. It's about having the faith to hear the Lord and follow him into the greatest things that you could never imagine in your current state of affairs. "Well, this isn't possible. Nobody's ever done this before. Well, this can't be done because I've always blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't have the money for this. Well, I couldn't ever possibly do this. Well, I've always been bad at this." The faith of the mustard seed is planted. You've cut out the bad vines, and then you plant the mustard seed. But once you plant a seed, Lily, you don't just walk away. Those of us who are horticulturalists know that after you plant the seed, then you water it and you tend to it. Daily, you look after it. The mustard seed is your prayer time. Dad used to pray for 4 hours, and I thought to myself, "Well, I can't pray for 4 hours. Well, I can't now." But I started by praying when I first started here at Redeemer. I started praying for 5 minutes. That is a mustard seed, y'all. Do or die. Doesn't matter. Cats come in the room, 5 minutes. And then I started watering it. 5 minutes turned into 10 minutes. Then I started to monitor. Then when I, in my prayer time, the Lord would reveal things to me. about how I need to be more patient, about how I need to be more humble, about how I need to talk less. And then I started to try and hear those things outside of my prayer time, and it grew, and people around me began to notice. Did that make sense? And then I added more to it. And here's the glorious thing, that as much as I've grown and as beneficial as it has been, it's nothing compared to what will be mine if I continue. Watering the plant, cutting out, tending to it. When Jesus was here on earth, everybody was a farmer, so they would know what he meant by that. Maybe today it'd be like, the kingdom of heaven is like your email inbox. You put in the junk, all of the special offers, and you respond to the, right? But they would have understood what it meant to grow something, to prune something, to take care of a plant. Your spiritual life is the most important aspect of your existence, but because you cannot see it, you don't believe it. This new year, find a way to plant the seed. Every good thing in this earth is only attained by tending to it. Whether you want to save money, lose weight, gain enlightenment, get a better job, find your soulmate, whatever it may be, it all starts with the prayer. And then it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. But how, Gabe? You've been sick every single break. The Lord reveals to me. He reveals to me. He reveals to me. Not always at first. Sometimes I plug my ears and I say, I don't want to hear that. I want to be right this time. I'm sick of being wrong. I want to be right this time. I'm right and they're wrong. That's just too hard. That's just too hard, Lord. I can't do it. I was throwing a piece of trash in the... I'm going to wrap it up. I was throwing a piece of trash at Trader Joe's, and we're working. It's the end of the night last night. I got a lump in my throat. I've been in a refrigerator for the last 6 hours. Everybody's leaving, and I'm sweeping up. And I had a piece of plastic, and I was walking by, and I threw it by the into the trash can. It rimmed out, bricked on the thing. And I just kept on walking. And there was a feeling that came over me. Gabe, go throw that away. Well, I've already walked this far. Have you ever rationalized things like little tiny things in your brain? This kind of thing happens to me often. Yeah, well, I've already walked. There's trash. But that feeling, I knew that I should throw it away. It's not a voice. It's like, Gabe, throw that away. Littering's bad. Save the earth. It was a feeling. It was a compunction that I had. Go back and get it, Gabe. Right? If you don't get it, somebody else will have to get it. And I went back and I picked it up and I threw it in the trash. And there weren't trumpets and angels didn't come bow. Three people from Asia didn't come and give me gold and frankincense. But there was a knowledge that I did what the Lord had asked me to do. Driving in traffic. Going to work. You can't always hear it, especially when you're upset, when you're angry, when you're distraught. It's really hard to hear it. And the more you ignore it, and the less time you spend praying, the harder it is to hear. But the more you tend to it, the seedlings just coming through the earth. And you'll be able to see just a little bit of green. Like, that's it. That's it right there. But if you tend to it, then more comes out, more comes out, more comes. Then it's a huge bush. And you hear it plain as day. That's how you have compassion for your enemies. That's how you have peace and joy. That's how you have love for your neighbors. And Jesus says, that's how you'll know my disciples. I'm not there yet. I don't know if everybody knows that I'm his disciple. Some people do. Close with this. I was talking with a buddy last night. I said, do you do any New Year's resolutions? And he said, I do resolutions year round. And I was like, dude, you're so cool. That's important. You should do your resolutions all year round. But January 1st is good because it gives you a starting point. The last time I went on a diet, I had a whiteboard calendar, and I weighed myself every morning. This does not mean, I'm not trying to tell anybody about their weight. Your life and your journey is your own. But I had decided I wanted to lose some weight. My body and mouth made weird noises when I was sitting down and standing up. And I was like, this will not stand. Can't have that. That dog won't hunt. I got to lose some weight. But the problem is, there's such a thing as called burritos. I don't know if you've heard of these. They take wonderful ingredients and they wrap them up with like cheese and sour cream. And so every time I decide, I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in such good shape. I'm going to be running marathons. Then Judd will be like, hey, you want to go to Baja Buzz? Yeah, dude, I totally want to go. Then ice cream, all these things. So then it all just falls out the window. So having a way to keep yourself accountable is a way to nurture your mustard seed. So saying tomorrow morning, well, pick any date and say, I'm going to do 5 minutes of prayer, come hell or high water. Hell and high water will come in short order. Because 5 minutes of prayer time is a direct threat to him who wants you unhappy and miserable. And so after doing it for a couple of days, something will come up. You have to take your daughter to the airport, or you have to do something or other, and you'll miss a day. Find ways and means. Start with 5 minutes. If you're already doing 5 minutes, do 10 minutes. If you're already doing 10 minutes, do 15. You get the idea. Attend to it. And it will show benefits. A sower goes out into the field. Sometimes he throws the seed, and it's eaten up by crows. Sometimes he throws it, and the thorns strangle it. But sometimes it falls into good soil, and we're all good soil. And it is reaped in I thank God every day. Because he didn't stop. He called and he called and he called and he called. And for 40 years, I let the crows eat. And I let the thorns grow. And I lived in fear and misery. In my 20s and 30s, with my beautiful children, with wonderful people in my life, I let the crows eat. And one day I decided, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to start with 5 minutes of prayer, and I'm going to put it to the test. I can do it. 5 turned into 10, 10 turned into 20, 20 turned into 30. And I don't say that to brag or boast, but I say it as a man who's testifying in the court of the kingdom of heaven. My life turned around. Not when other people changed. Not when my kids started cleaning their room. Not when I got more money. That still hasn't happened, Todd. It all changed as soon as I started tending to the mustard seed. Keep track, and you will see. Be blessed this week. Be blessed this year. It is possible. All things are possible. Through Christ who strengthens us, and your lowest lows and your highest highs. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes, we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you. Thank you again for these people in this place, for this wonderful world that you've created, for the promise of a better year, for the promise of a better life. But thank you most of all for your son and the mustard seed that's planted deep inside. Help us to tend to it, Lord. Help us to water it. Help us to prune it. And help us to recognize it as it grows. Give us ears to hear your voice. Give us a heart that discerns. Give us awareness when the enemy tries to steal. Bring us back next week in 2024, filled with hope. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.